Sagt die Mishnah weiter, Masechtes Pesachim, Perik Beis, Mishnah Gimel. So we learned in the previous Mishnah, Chametz that belongs to a Nachri over Pesach is Mutter after Pesach, Chametz that belongs to Yisrael after Pesach is Aser. But it isn't always so simple to figure out what's called owning something. Listen to the following case. A Yisrael goes to a Nachri and says, can you lend me money? The Nachri says, how do I know you're going to pay me back? Give me collateral. So the Yisrael says, I have sacks and sacks of chametz that are worth the amount of money that you're going to give me. If I don't pay you back, you can take that chametz. As a matter of fact, I'll even bring it to your house. I will even make a deal that if I don't pay you back, the chametz is yours from today. L'maisa, Pesach comes and goes, and unfortunately, the Yid did not pay him back, so the Nachri takes the chametz, which he rightfully has a claim to. The question is, the loan was only due after Pesach. It was only then that it became clear this was going to be the chametz of the Nachri. So is this chametz mutter after Pesach or not? Can this Nachri sell the chametz to a Yid? Can a Yid use it? And the answer is yes. Being that two requirements were satisfied. A, the Nachri was in possession of the chametz prior to Pesach, and B, it was very clear that if the Yid doesn't pay back, it belongs to the Nachri retroactively. That means all the way from the beginning. Now what about the other way around? What if a Nachri comes to Yisrael and says, can you lend me money? And the Yisrael says, how do I know you're going to pay me back? The Nachri has sacks of chametz. Same over here. Except here it's going to be l'chumra. Here we're going to say the chametz is considered in possession of the Yisrael, and therefore it's aser b'hana after Pesach. Let's see the Mishnah inside. Nachri, you have someone who's not Jewish, shehilves Yisrael al chametzai, who lent money to a Yid on his chametz. The chametz was going to guarantee the loan. And again, as the Batanura explains, two conditions have to be met over here. The understanding is that if the Yid doesn't pay back, it retroactively belongs to the Nachri. And number two, it was in the possession of the Nachri during Pesach. Under these circumstances, when the deadline comes and the Yid doesn't pay back, so we say it's as if it was in the Nachri's possession all along during Yom Tov. Even though the Yid technically had a chance to redeem it by paying back for it, but l'maisa it never happened. The Nachri didn't even have to collect it. It was already in his rishus. The deal was it belongs to him to start with. We say this is chametz of a Nachri, and memela achara Pesach mutar b'hana. The other way around, if it was v'Yisrael shehilves ha-Nachri al chametzai, a Yisrael Shehilva that lent as Hanachri the Nachri money al Chametzai, now was the Chametz of the Nachri that was collateral to assure that the Yid gets his money back. Under these circumstances, Achara Pesach Aser Bana, because if the Nachri doesn't pay back, it turns out that to start with, it belonged to the Yisrael during Pesach. Weiter says the Mishnah. Chametz, we have Chametz, Shenafla Olav Mapoilus. Mapilus is a wall that not only was about to collapse, it did collapse, let's say from an old house or something. It came crashing down on the chametz. Hareyu kimavoyer. For all practical purposes, it's as if the chametz is not there. It's not necessary for the Yid to have to start schlepping away the bricks or the stones and the rocks in order to find and destroy the chametz. However, there is something the Yid does have to do. He has to be mevatel the chametz in his heart. That's just in case some of the boulders or rocks or the broken parts of the wall are going to be removed during Pesach, and the Yid may be over bal yiro bal yimatzah. Rem Gamliel says, kol she'eina kelev yachal lecha Pesach rav. When do we say you don't have to physically remove the stones and the bricks? That's if it's deep enough that a dog won't be able to seek it out. How deep does that have to be? So the Gemara says at least 3 tefachim. You see, if it's less than that, a dog may go sniffing and smell the chametz over here. And once he smells, then he's going to schlep the chametz up to the surface. So, quickly chazrin over what we learned in this Mishnah. We learned that if a Nachri lends money to a Yid, and the chametz is the collateral, and the chametz was delivered to the Nachri's house before Pesach, in case the Yid doesn't pay back. And the understanding was that if the Yid doesn't pay back, even though the due date for the loan was after Pesach, but if the Yid doesn't pay back, it belongs to the Nachri to start with, and indeed that's what happened. The Yid didn't pay back, so it's considered chametz that belongs to a Nachri. It's mutter bana after Pesach. The other way around, if it was a Yid who lent the money to the Nachri on his chametz, then after Pesach it's aser bana. He said if you have a room, a wall, a building, something collapsed over the chametz, you don't have to start schlepping boulders and stones to remove it. You do have to do bittul, though, in case some of the stones are removed. Rav Gamliel says, how deep does it have to be? Deep enough that a kelev won't sniff it or search at it. And that means it has to be at least 3 tfachim under the ground.